Welcome to Cybersecurity Shall Be C-Level Priority, the podcast that puts the digital world to the test. Cyber attacks are on the rise, and data is the most valuable asset in today's world. But how can we protect what matters most to us? Drawing on the latest insights, effective strategies, and practical tools, we'll show you how to create a more secure digital environment. Because one thing is clear, security isn't negotiable. It's a top priority.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Cybersecurity Chef in Sei-Eize podcast. Today we're in a special setting again. We're actually in Munich, and I have Estelle with me. We actually met for a podcast last year. Then there were some scheduling difficulties, and we couldn't follow through. That's why I'm even more excited to repeat the recording from last year with you right at the beginning of the year. We met at various trade fairs and often talked about your job as well as your intentions. For those who don't know you yet, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
I'd love to. Hello, Nico. Thank you so much for the invitation. And it's really nice that we're here in the heart of Munich. The location is really very, very nice.
Yes. For some people, if there are background noises, we've probably tried to record at least 10 times now. There were always background noises. Now let's just go with it. We just want to give you the vibe of what it feels like to be in the Munich office.
Exactly. And yes, so to your question, who am I? So I'm Estelle. I originally come from France, or rather from Paris. So sorry if my German isn't perfect. And well, currently I'm also working in the large automotive industry here in the heart of Munich. Marketing has done a really great job. I don't think I need to mention any companies. And I take care of IT, security and compliance for a big data analytics platform at our company.
Today, we want to talk about the topic of OSINT. Maybe let's go back. What is it actually? OSINT.
OSINT stands for Open Source Intelligence. So as its name suggests, open source is everything that you can find on the internet for free or for a small fee. All information about everything. Just for your information, I heard from Google that it is approximately 4% of all the information you can find on the internet, OSINT. That is also, where are they? It's then the methodology of how you access the information and, very importantly, how you can analyze it to make a decision.
For me, OSINT NIMAS is especially important, especially when we talk about companies. When attackers try to target a company, OSINT is the first step that gets taken. Information, as you already mentioned, comes from Google, from public networks, from the dark web, wherever information might be available. LinkedIn, super OSINT network. You can get all the information there these days. All this information is basically gathered together to derive insights, to create a phishing email, maybe to target the right person. Or even when you're on site to say, hey, I know this person or I know that person, to build trust. Can you even protect yourself from OSINT?
The question is, if one should protect oneself from OSINT, because I believe that OSINT is a very, very important value provider that you can really use for yourself. And how can you protect yourself from it? To learn and understand the methodology, that's the best method to protect yourself from it.
For me, it's like this. I just accept it. I mean, you can easily find out where I live, where I come from, where I work. For me, in my work, also here as a podcaster, it's just essential, Uma, that I always have to disclose this information about myself, just through an imprint, for example. And I just live with the moment of saying, okay, then someone knows it. I'm not inviting anyone over to my house. They'll see other surprises too. But at the end of the day, I think you always have to ask yourself, can I really protect myself from OSINT because information or is simply available? And we are all transparent people. It's no coincidence that we say Google, Facebook, whatever they're called, they make money from our data. And so there are also some data available. And I believe, for me personally, to contain OSINT, yes, Certainly, one should consider whether they really want to disclose everything. But I also want to make an appeal to everyone here. They like to tell me, hey, you're sharing so many private information, price, because I'm posting something on LinkedIn, yeah, that I've flown to Munich, for example, or whatever. Those are not private information. Those are information related to my job or where I want to show you something. But I'm not taking you with me to swim with my child, for example. So you have to be careful about that. Often this perception blurs between you're revealing everything now and you're only sharing what you really want to share. It often gets mixed up. And I see it again and again that people think, okay, this is everything you're revealing. So you are? In a way, we're much more transparent than you need to be.
That's true. You're right. So one should really be able to make a distinction between what is private. So you would never say, I'm currently at the swimming pool with my child, or my child is going to school, because there you actually have data, and very important data, about your child, and you don't know how they will be used. It may be that someone who wants to do something bad to you, and he knows exactly which school is your child in, what habits does your child have, and that can end very badly. The professional things about you coming to Munich is a decision that only concerns you and your person.
Do you also think that companies can learn from us? So now also, maybe for you and your company, that one says, I've heard this often, I'm going to take a look myself. What can be found about my employees, so to speak, is a classic example is that there are many websites where you can check email addresses, for instance. Are the email addresses known somewhere in a data leak or not? And I often see that companies are already being proactive with OSINT. Do you think that's sensible?
Definitely. So I would want to know if my email address has ended up in such a leak, whether it's private or professional. And that I would definitely be interested in that. It's also important that companies also need to define measures. Okay, what happens now if, for example, an employee is under the worst consent and their email has been compromised?
But is that the case, especially for you, when you look at it from the perspective that we've already mentioned? The information is public and there are various sources. And I would say, if you're looking for it yourself, with this information, it can already be outdated. It might not be accurate anymore. And the employee doesn't really see that in that sense. Because if he signs up with an email now, he might not even notice it, or he doesn't even remember that he's signing up with it. Do you really see a value in that, especially regarding security, to be proactive? Or do you say at the end of the day, it's just that the information gathering, but then there still has to be the attack? I mean, the way in into the company.
I'm more of a fan of proactivity. And I would say that the employee, through awareness, I mean that companies might need to provide training and regularly conduct these assessments to avoid that this email address could then be used by others instead of the employee, because you can do that, you can't prevent that. But at least you can have a plan for how to deal with such issues. And that's important.
I find the thing with email addresses to be a bit of a false sense of security. Because one thing is, of course, finding an email address somewhere in a data leak to get information about which email you are using. It's usually just first name, dot last name, add your company, first name, first letter, dot last name, or first letter, last name, dot first letter, first name. So there are a lot of ways, I mean, that's the wrong word. There are common ways that email addresses are created. And so you really only need the first name and the last name. There was, funny enough, at One-on-One, there was an ad where I think back then it was the head of customer service who said, hey, for any personal concerns, please write to my email address. And it turned out that it was, in the end, just a support email address where a ticket has been opened. Because, of course, if he gets thousands of emails now, he can't answer them all. But it kind of shows that if you know the person's name, you can always figure out their email address somehow. Unless it's something really cryptic, like a personnel number or whatever. That's why I think this information about the O isn't that bad. You can find out an email address very, very quickly these days. It's more about the O. Are important, who is the boss? Or what kind of dependency does he have? Who does he maybe have frequent contact with, so I can create a phishing email to address exactly these points? I see that as much, much more important than the topic classic email.
Yes, even though I have this phishing strategy and so on that you know, okay, these employees work in this company with the person as the boss and so on, that reminds me more of human intelligence. So that's more in the direction of what part of OSINT is, of course. But that helps a hacker just as much as it helps a sales manager, for example.
Or the recruiter asking you again if you wouldn't want to. If you want to become a project manager in construction science, I just got that the day before yesterday. I found it really funny.
Yes, you can use that as an applicant too. So, I mean, back then I applied for a position and I thought, okay, where can I send my resume? There are these general emails, recruiting type, and then the company. And maybe you can research a bit. Okay, maybe I can reach out to a specific person in recruitment. That might increase the chances of getting the job. And I actually then used an AI like ChatGPT and asked, which person can I reach out to? And funny enough, ChatGPT gave me the name of the person.
We know everything about ChatGPT. Okay, what I also find really interesting about OSINT is, if you look at it in relation to the company, one thing is getting the information. For example, AI helps a lot with that. As you already provided the practical example, how do you see it for yourself, the development of OSINT? And so we've already talked about AI, but in relation to that, but also just in general. Do you think that in the future it will just happen completely automated and that you won't have to do anything at all? Or do you think that it will still somehow be a mix of manual and automated research?
Well, that's a very interesting question. OSINT is actually not something new. I'm sure our listeners have already done OSINT without even knowing that it's OSINT. And that's why now he has a name. It's called Open Source Intelligence. And companies are looking to the future and thinking about it. Or in their vision, how can I build corporate intelligence in my company? So I'm pretty sure that in the next 5 years, things are really going to take off. And that's also going to be the case in the professions of the future. So far, it has been limited to intelligence agencies, the police who investigator, detective, and so on. But now companies are realizing I can actually be proactive with HUSINs. And I just find that very useful for good day, big or small companies a lot. Exciting and very, very important, especially in relation to cybersecurity. I mean, our hackers are already using it too. OSINT, they already have corporate intelligence. So we were at the same ISA conference. You must have seen the presentation by BK Adekasten. Bing, bing. Seen his presentation. And he really showed how the global players in ransomware look. And there was a deep dive into this OSINT departments. And I found that so simple.
I would like to emphasize that as well, because when I started with IT back then, there was already OSINT and it was just called ego googling. Maybe you know this. For us, it was always the running gag in computer science class at school. Google yourself. Give it a try. Sometimes it's really exciting what comes out of it. Sometimes you think, okay, those are things I wouldn't have expected. For me, those are definitely things I expected. And that also shows a bit about this approach and the Ma Mambao. Now we actually come back to another topic, but I want to briefly touch on that. OSINT is also an important topic for me, something that we need to pass on to young people, especially in terms of media literacy. What do I give about the price? What information do I want to share? And you already mentioned it at the beginning. What information do I actually share? Price with what background? I think this shows the future through all these tools and possibilities that we have, where you can do a lot of things automatically, where you also get information automatically. It's all going to become much more fast-paced, and you'll also get more information from it. Whether that's good or bad, the future will tell. I don't want to evaluate that today, But I think that with all these usability issues that we have now, with accounts on certain social media platforms, with accounts on certain other platforms, do you always have these issues that you just have to deal with? You share information. And of course, others can also use that information.
That's true. So that's always a question of what information you want to share, to give out. If it's not that bad for you, then that is your decision. There are other people, and everyone should look for themselves at what is important to them. I mean, we're connected on LinkedIn and we all post and stuff, but that's on our own responsibility. And I believe that everyone sees it differently. So I know that the French and the Germans also have different definitions of private data. That the topic in Germany is a bit...
Yes, here it's all about data protection. As soon as you talk about data protection in any way, it's always a topic of what works. Because people immediately scream data protection, but they don't really understand that, okay, one thing is data protection and I'm for that too. Yes, we need to protect our data. The other thing is, you need usability. You want to achieve something with it. And a company makes money with the data. You always have to be aware of that. I can't tell someone that I don't want to share anything about myself or that I'm not giving out any data. Then I can't use these services. Surely one service does more while the other does less. That's also very clear. But I believe that we often make this topic of data protection too big of a deal. With the background that we handle it differently in private and that we always immediately push data protection in a professional context but act very differently in private.
Definitely, and that's why the question now arises, how you might want to legalize OSINT. So in which direction? It is very likely laws on how to conduct OSINT. There are already laws in place and we have to consider all the research on our... I always find that unfair too. It's just like ethical hacking. There are boundaries. If you want to do it properly, there are limits. Like hack.
That's not it works. Exactly.
That means you're not playing in the same league. But that's just how it is. And that's why OSINT needs to be legalized. And this will prevent OSINT from being misused.
But do you think that if OSINT is legalized, there could be an improvement? I always find it difficult to imagine, because when you use OSINT, yes, if you make it legal, then it's just like you said, we have to stick to it. That means law enforcement agencies also have to adhere to it. The others, the attackers, was this said to them in German? I don't care. That means they will never stick to it, and that's why I don't really understand the background. The only background is proactivity. So if a law enforcement agency or other institutions, if you act according to certain rules and then something stands out, then it might be able to warn some people or institutions about it. But otherwise, it doesn't really have any advantage if the attacker doesn't follow the rules anyway.
Maybe it's also culturally influenced. So, I mean, if you want to give a future to the origin, then you might have to approach the topic differently and just understand or change our mindset so that the acceptance increases. And I believe that through this and through education, and that will probably also be taught in schools, there isn't really a proper degree program focused on OSINT and cybersecurity yet, but that will all become clear over time. And that's, as I always say, you learn from it, you grow from it, and that will, hopefully a lot will change. Because I'm in favor of course, you have to legalize it and have a law so that it doesn't, everyone does what they want. That's not possible. But legalizing it in a way that it blocks us, that's just like cybersecurity in our world, where we are always seen from that specialized perspective. Yes, we block. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I want to convey with this podcast, so to speak, to the people. Cybersecurity is not about avoidance. Rather, you can achieve a lot with cybersecurity. You can also develop further with it, and cybersecurity is important than to handle things safely and to pay attention to certain aspects. But it's not a burden, as it's often said. But yes, especially regarding the topic of OSINT. Now you're talking about it, especially in your company, that OSINT is always such a topic. You get information out, email addresses, and so on and so forth. Do you think a large company, let's say a big corporation, has any chance of being able to deal with OSINT at all? Because I have no idea. If you have 10,000 employees, out of those 10,000 employees, you will have 1,000 or let's say 2,000 definitely somehow stand out.
Yes, definitely. But OSINT isn't just specifically about the email addresses of employees. You can, or in the idea, that's the business enabler. And you can use OSINT in every specialized area. So in our job with cybersecurity, you also have risk management, you have compliance, you have legal, and so on and so forth. And you can use OSINT in every specialized area, in its specification. So, I mean, for example, you work in a large industry, and for me, you want to, for example, make a partnership with your new partner, or you want to hire someone. And the first thing you do, anyway, manually, even when you're applying in a new company, it's about checking the reputation of the company or your partner or your... The future leader is to check their reputation. You'll also search for the name on Google, right?
You're bringing up something important. That's why I emphasize it again. Not that I wanted to bring out something contradictory, but I think that's an important conclusion. OSINT has been around for I don't know how many years. It started for me with ego Googling, then it continued with social business platforms like LinkedIn and whatever else they're called. That's why singing can actually still be mentioned, even if it's almost disappeared from the market. But it is precisely such networks that are there to exchange data, to provide, also to see how to handle things, who has what relationships, who knows whom, and so on and so forth. That means you naturally get more information than before. The other point is, of course, that OSINT, as you already mentioned, can help with applications. You also mentioned it regarding private individuals and so on. And I think it's important to realize that OSINT is often associated with this topic. Intelligence agencies deported. I also had a podcast about 2 years ago where I discussed OSINT in the context of intelligence services that I recorded, which is a completely different topic. But I think as a conclusion, we can take away that OSINT is common practice for us today. And you just have to think about what information am I sharing? Price. But you can't protect yourself from OSINT. And there's no way to say, okay, oh, it's just so bad for me right now. I have to somehow isolate myself. Then I have other problems. Then I might not be able to use certain things, not see certain things and so on. And that's why I want to make it very clear. Don't be afraid. Oh, it's completely normal. I don't even want to know how often my name is Googled, how often a company is Googled. That's just standard. And you can't really protect yourself from it.
Yes, it's simply an enabler. So I believe you shouldn't see it as something bad, but really as a huge opportunity. And you can only see the added value of something if you can master it.
Absolutely. I would say that's it for this episode. Cybersecurity is a business matter. We'll see each other again next time. See you then.
Thank you, Nico.